27, sins and light. But if we really are living and walking in the light as he himself is in the light, we have true, unbroken fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses and removes us from all sin and guilt. 1 John 1:7. What is this light in which we have been placed, in which we are to walk? And this is the message which we have heard from him and now are reporting to you, that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. No, not in any way. 1 John 1:5. Since our Father is light, our Lord Jesus is light also. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. While here on earth, the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. Nevertheless, the full extent of that light was kept almost totally obscured by his humanity. For a brief moment, while on the Mount of Transfiguration, he allowed the true light within to be manifested. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Matthew 7, verse 2. Peter wrote later that he and others were eyewitnesses of his majesty in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. At present our Lord Jesus is in glory, on the right hand of the majesty on high, as we read in Hebrews 1, verse 3. It is in his light that we are to abide and to walk. For now ye are light in the Lord, so walk as children of light. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Every Christian is positionally in the light, but until he learns to abide and walk in that light, he can only struggle on in the darkness of sin and self. We read in Ephesians, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. For the fruit, the effects, the product of the light consists in every form of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart and trueness of life. Ephesians 5, verses 8 and 9. Our blood-bought position is in the light of our Father's presence. First, we look at condition. The healthy babe in Christ begins well, whether or not he knows anything at all concerning his position in the light. Being a child, spiritually, he's handled as such by the Father. He feels that the Lord Jesus is very close to him and is leading him by the hand. He's filled with the joy of the Lord and loves him with all his heart. Although he's looking to the Lord Jesus, he is still self-centred, though, because of ignorance regarding his position in him. He is taken up mainly with what Christ has done, what Christ is doing, and what Christ will do for him. He is, in turn, seeking to live and to work for the Lord. For the most part, he's emotionally motivated and therefore affected by his condition rather than his position. Later during the believer's spiritual adolescence, the Lord begins his reversal of all of this. The emphasis in the life is to be shifted from dwelling on what Jesus has done to rejoicing in who, what, and where he is. From being happy and active to being like him. From living and working for Christ to living in and working through him. From what the believer is in himself to what he is in Christ and what he is in the believer. From condition to position. In other words, not I, but Christ. Of necessity, the transitional process from a condition-centred to a position-centred life is extremely painful. Now, no chastening or child training for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, Afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Hebrews 12 verse 11. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Hebrews 12 verse 6. In spite of the believer's good position, and in the midst of his joy and activity for the Lord, self begins to creep back into the picture. The indwelling principle of sin once more asserts its tyrannical power, and the world regains its attractiveness. Peace and love tend to weaken and drain away. The quiet time quietly dies. Study of the word becomes burdensome, a burdensome work. The conscience is defiled. Sins are no longer confessed, but excused. The eyes are off the Lord. The struggle with self is on, simply because condition has given precedence over position. Now the faltering believer becomes keenly aware of self and only vaguely aware of the Son. Desperately upset about his falling and failing condition, he struggles to improve himself, and all the while begging God to give him some relief and some victory. This is the vantage point that Satan has been waiting for. He slyly leads the believer to compare the present condition with the happy, carefree days gone by, and to question every realm of belief, thus shaking all reliance on the word of God and on the Lord. He ruthlessly puts the wavering Christian on the defensive in every aspect of his life and his walk. He applies downward pressure and fills the heart with the gnawing remorse of self-condemnation. When the believer allows the enemy to spread the choking smog of self-accusation over his life, the realization of his righteousness in Christ is dimmed. The goal of Satan is to lure the believer back into the ground of condemnation in order to negate the benefits of the resurrection with Christ and his union with him in the heavenlies. Those who are not established by the no condemnation ground of Romans chapter 8 verse 1 make very little spiritual progress. They go just so far and then bog down. Their fruit falls before it ripens. But the destroying power of the enemy is rendered null and void when the believer rests in the truth that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8 verse 2. Although the Holy Spirit as convictor pulls the heart in an agony of conviction of sins, he never points downward. While Satan's accusation results in self-consciousness, Holy Spirit conviction leads to Christ consciousness. When he convicts the heart and conscience concerning sins, he leads the believer to the self-judgment of confession. He then points upward to the remedy of sins committed, the blood that has opened the way to the peace and life of our position in the light of God's presence. Hebrews 10:19 writes this: Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The enemy spurs the falling one to self-effort by holding the impossible standard of perfection over the very imperfect believer's head. He agitates continually for immediate and complete rectification of the failing condition. But the patient Holy Spirit, on the other hand, allows time for development, graciously reminding of the ever available and finished work of the shed blood for our cleansing from all unrighteousness through the process of growth. He leads the faltering believer from self-centeredness and darkness to Christ-centeredness and light. To bring this about, the Spirit of Truth presents positional truths, such as Colossians 3 verse 1. If or since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. and Colossians 3 verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So now we look at the position. The awakened Christian who is not resting in his position becomes discouraged by his condition. Therefore, confession of his sins is sporadic, and he has little or no assurance of being cleansed from all unrighteousness. He's out of fellowship with the Father and the Son, and finds himself convicted by the Holy Spirit, whom he is grieving. He's also under the domination of sin and self, as well as the condemnation of the devil. Oh, he is utterly wretched, with his sins accumulated as a cloud, obscuring the light of his position of freedom and fellowship in his risen Lord. But it is the history of Satan always to overstep himself. His most apparent victories all contain the seed of his own defeat. The very need generated by the believer's failure is the Spirit's preparation for his seeing and abiding in his blessed position of light. The faith is to be focused on the fact that God has already given him a position in his presence. What is more, he has already established himself in that position. We read in Isaiah 44:22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed thee. The honest but still self-centered believer is oppressed and hindered by the darkness of his sinful condition. Nevertheless, in the midst of his downward trend, the Holy Spirit is presenting the truth so as to overwhelm him by the light of his righteous position. John 8:32 says, And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Not only is he free from the penalty of sin, but also from its power to bring forth sins. The believer is bound until, in spite of his sins, he rests in the truth concerning those sins. What then is the specific truth concerning our sins? In our condition, we're totally unacceptable for the Father's presence and fellowship. But position is what counts with God, and it must come first with us. We read the following in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, or has made us suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us in and through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And in 1 John 1:7 we read that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Every believer, regardless of his present condition, is in the very presence of the Father. We are in Christ. We are at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The source of our Christian life is in the light above, in Christ risen. It is there that we are able to abide. It is that complete standing which alone will affect the growth of our daily state. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Colossians 1:20-22. We are not to be influenced by our feelings and our condition, but rather by his written word. In spiritual growth, the eye of faith is slowly transferred from our own point of view to his point of view, from condition to position. By means of intelligent faith in the scriptural facts, we are to turn boldly from sinful darkness to rest in his holy light. We read in Psalm 119, verse 130, that the entrance of thy words giveth light. And in Ephesians 2, 13 and 14, we read the following. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh, reconciled to his presence by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In 2 Corinthians 5, 21, we read the following. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Since we are born into Christ, who is our righteousness, our Father is able to accept us fully into his presence, just as we are. Our right to the light is our eternal position, in spite of our present condition. Our walk is the result of the source of our life. If we attempt to walk as Christians in dependence on our own resources, there is self-centeredness, self-righteousness, and darkness. And when we walk in dependence on the source of our life, the Lord Jesus, in the light of God's presence, there is Christ-centeredness, his righteousness. And the Lord shall be thine everlasting light. Isaiah 60, verse 20. In our estimation, which is looming larger? Our sins or his blood shed for those sins? Are we viewing our sins from his side or from ours? Are we letting God be God in this matter? It is for us to think God's thoughts after him. He has graciously and justly placed us in his Son, the very light of earth and heaven. Can our sins come between our Father and his glorified Son who is in our life? Never! He has borne them in all his own body on the tree. He is our risen advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. By means of his atoning blood, he maintains eternally our relationship with the Father in unbroken integrity. Though our sins can in no way affect our position in the light or alter his thoughts of love towards us, they can and they do affect our thoughts and our attitudes towards our Father. They can never cloud his view of our advocate, but they can and they do obliterate our vision of his advocacy. They immediately hinder our communion and fellowship with the Father and the Son. The dark cloud of guilt and conviction of sin settles down on the heart and conscience unless we learn to judge ourselves and willingly confess our sins before God. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31.